Views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. If you have a question for the Laundry House Gang, who's my guest today, you can call us at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And with that, Wayne, Craig, Karen, Al, how you all doing?
Good.
Great. Fantastic.
Now, the first thing I want to get into is Craig Compo's fishing trip on Chittenden. Now, what type of boat did you use?
I used a beautiful 22-foot SJX from Compo's, a 200-horse Optimax. It just did fantastic.
And you had no issues on that river, even though it was a wet, wild river from what I heard from your other two companions.
Well, the first part of the trip was great, but, you know, Chittenden is like the ocean. The weather can turn in a minute.
In a moment, yeah.
And so coming back, we decided, everybody left, you know, we fished about 6 hours on the river, and everybody left about 4 hours after, I don't know what time, about 4 o'clock. We're staying here until six. We're just catching them like crazy. And thinking, well, people must know something about the weather here today. And on the way back, yeah, we were in 3-foot white caps and 50 mile an hour winds at the landing. The most difficult part of the whole trip was getting the boat back on the trailer. The wind was blowing inward, and so we were trying to push the boat out, and I'm trying to back it up and line it up, and we got it up there, but it was a challenge. But
you know, if there's anyone that's going to want to be on a boat on that river, would it be you?
Well, I appreciate that. It was a good trip. We always take all the safety gear. You know, we've got the anchors, the throw device. Everybody's wearing life jackets. We've got a kicker motor. But you know, even a kicker motor in that water, that's fast moving water.
Yeah.
It'll help you.
It'll get you to the sideline.
Yeah, it'll get you somewhere safe maybe until somebody can get you out of there. But, you know, I see a lot of people, Dave, go down there. The biggest mistake people make is they put too small a boat in the river there, and you don't realize. Like, we brought 600 pounds of fish out. Now, I have 200 horse and lots of bottom on that boat, and no problem at all. But you get somebody with a 16-foot boat with a 50 jet, and you start limiting out like that. I mean, and then you're in those waves and that wind. Bad things can happen fast. And often do. So
you were gone 20 hours. You did a turn and burn.
22 hours. We left at 4 in the morning, came back at 2 in the morning. I drove all the way down there, all the way back in 9
hours.
You were the pilot.
You were the captain of the boat and the car.
Yeah, it was a heck of a trip. But it was good. We had Jerry and Glenner, so there was no lack of comedy.
poor Glenner. Excuse me, poor Jerry. He's more the reserved, you know, personality.
I'll tell you what, Glenn and I were ready. I never put a net in the water. I'm sitting there just driving the boat up and down the stretch.
I'm thinking your personalities and the one-upsmen, you know, going after each other. And Jerry is a more reserved personality.
Yes. Yeah, you'd think so, but he turned it loose a little bit there.
Yeah.
And he is the one that didn't want to quit fishing. He wanted to stay there even after we said, look, we got 7 coolers. They're packed. We have no more room for fish. And he goes, well, we got hefty bags. We can throw them in hefty bags. I said, let's get out of there. We're starting to get windy. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, we're going to go now.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a really fun trip. Good bunch of guys.
Wayne, how goes the battle with the squirrels?
I have established an armistice with the squirrels.
You're losing.
And, well, yeah, and you know, to maintain maximum sustained yield, we have to let them reproduce. So as the manager of my estate, and the fact that they have simply overwhelmed me, I've given them a hiatus, and I'm now into dragonflies.
Okay.
I'm not against them, I'm for them.
So you never found the 13-year-old with the 20 gauge, did
not
you?
Not yet.
Okay. Karen, what's on your mind today?
There's been a movement from outside, although there is a chapter here of the Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership that is trying to encourage us to write letters to stop the Ambler Road.
You know, another outside outfit?
Yeah, pretty much. It's Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership that kind of come off as a an outdoor conservation outfit, but it's really a preservation outfit riding on the coattails of Teddy Roosevelt's name.
So they want to, and they're probably saying that everything up there will die if you put in this road.
Absolutely, yes. The whole entire Brooks Range will be lifeless. I mean, yeah. I'm exaggerating that, of course, but they, I think...
so there, are they. So.
There are, yeah. There are some signers on from Kotzebue. There's a company or two from Fairbanks, but a lot of the big names are outside names.
You know, I just saw a gentleman put in the community perspective and against the Ambler Road, but yet he wants it, you know, he's had an ecotourism company up there, so I just like to say, okay, you have a NIMBY here. Not in my backyard.
Exactly.
And this isn't going to affect him, but, you know.
Unless it's my customers.
And we had a gentleman who's also a signer on to this who came to our laundry house lunch once a few years ago. And at that time, there was some discussion about BLM's proposed rule in regarding, they call them ACECs,
areas of ecological...
Areas of critical ecological critical. Concern, right. And so he told us that, well, he's starting all these ACECs, submitting to have them created where his hunting areas are, so nothing else can happen where his hunting areas are, his own personal private areas. And so we didn't do that. We didn't sign on. He wanted us to support and do more of them, and that's not us. And or who we are. But now there's another BLM proposed rule that came out in April, I think it was, and what the BLM wants to do, this is nationwide, this isn't just Alaska, and I know where wild sheep is concerned, they're concerned about grazing allotments and health of wild sheep, bighorn sheep in the lower 48. but here, what happens when they make an ACEC, it's essentially wilderness, nothing can happen there. Which is actually anti to BLM's mission, which is multiple use, mining and other...
hunting, farming, cattle, everything. Sheep.
So what they do by creating these ACECs now to legitimize and title them specifically for conservation is a de facto withdrawal, essentially wilderness, in violation of the No More Plows of Anilka.
They've been violating that since the day it was signed.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have.
Customary and traditional by now.
And Al, you haven't said anything yet.
Oh, I haven't done anything as glamorous or as fun as the other guests have. I've been reading history and researching regulations and laws and watching the fish counter down at Miles Lake, getting ready to try to go to Chit, and I've been canceled twice, so hoping the third time.
You didn't go with Compa?
Oh, I wasn't invited.
Oh.
It's a three people in a boat trip. I mean, we had extra nets.
So you say your SJXs can't carry more than three people?
They can't. We just had too much other fun.
Well, then there's the statute books that Al would bring.
Yeah, I'd be over
there. His reading. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You listen to KFAR Radio. We have the Laundry House Gang in the house, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Supply Company on Van Horn Road, the only Alaska-owned full-line wholesale distributor of plumbing, heating, industrial piping, waterworks, and mining products for over 30 years. Sure, they're big enough to handle the supply needs of pipelines and gold mines, but they're personable enough to help you with your needs as well. Frontier Supply Company, for all of your plumbing and heating needs, on Van Horn Road, online at frontiersupply.com. That's Frontier Supply Company.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Chad Yannon of Anchorage, Alaska, stood by his 119-pound catch at the Valdez Harbor Saturday night and waited as the final minutes of the Halibut Derby week ticked away. Yannon got to the port and weighed his fish just 30 minutes prior to the close of the Valdez Halibut Derby week and anxiously waited for the day to end with his name on the leaderboard. Yannon said he hooked into the big fish at the very start of the day, and by the time he returned to Port Valdez, He very clearly understood that his $10 investment in the Valdez Halibut Derby ticket could win him a lot of prizes. Saturday was Yannon's first time halibut fishing ever. He said he wouldn't have been able to go if someone else hadn't backed out of the trip and left an empty seat. When sharing about his lucky trip, Yannon said, "You can't beat it. It was pretty much the best adventure I could actually think of. It was going to be my first time catching some halibut." Yannon's fish was not large enough to knock out Josh Wise in his 124.4-pound halibut out of first place for the week, but it was enough to win him the second-place weekly prize. Troy Dolge of Copper Center, Alaska, is currently in first place overall in the Valdez Halibut Derby with a 203.0-pound halibut he caught on June 4th aboard the Reflection. Lucas Butkiewicz is second place overall with an 161.6-pound halibut he caught on July 1st aboard the Patriot, and Aaron Cruz of Wasilla is currently in third place with an 147.2-pound halibut she caught on June 2nd aboard the Arctic Spirit.
Be sure to stop into the Valdez Prospector's new location on Egan Drive, right across from the museum, for everything you need for fishing in Prince William Sound. Licenses, bait, derby tickets, and the best selection of lures and tackle to help you catch the derby winner. Stop into the Valdez Prospector on Egan Drive for everything for your fishing adventures.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 74. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight 56. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs around 68. 74 Thursday with a chance for scattered showers. 71 Friday. Showers continue. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We have the Laundry House Gang on the radio, and we're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Morning, Dave. This is Charles.
Hello, Charles. How are you doing?
Okay. I've got a question, or maybe I just comment and listen.
Go ahead, Charles.
The military is having some kind of comment period about what the best use of their land is, and keeping it probably amongst their own, military uses. Just wondering if you might have a comment on what currently is being the subject on the use of military land in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Charles. Al? That's right. You didn't have your headphones on. What a jerk.
He was asking about use of military lands.
What would be the best use of military lands?
Military operations.
Yeah.
Other than that.
For hunting?
Hunting, fishing, mining.
Yeah, so it's great
farming.
To go check with Fort Wainwright and Fort Rich locally. To see what their regulations are pertaining to hunting, fishing, and trapping on those lands. And, they'll have on their website, they do have a thing for the hunting on how to sign in, sign out, and what's allowed, when you're allowed. I think Wayne had something.
Charles mentioned that there's a comment period open at this time that solicits comment on what the military plan is. So.
That one I didn't hear. I didn't catch wind of that one.
I know.
Yet.
I think Tinker has mentioned it a time or two. That, the annual unease that we feel over military exclusion of people from hunting during hunting season is about to show up again. I wonder if that's what it was.
Oh, okay.
We'd met with the military folks there for lots of years. And we were always lobbying try to work around the, I know it's important for national defense, and they've got. South Korea, they got different joint exercises they do up here that sometimes it's hard for them to move the calendar, but we've been lobbying, trying to tell them, look, this is our livelihood. We put meat in the freezer here, and we can't, you can't just zero
cut it off.
Yeah, work with us is what we're saying.
Yes, Karen.
And maybe he can let us know where the comments go and what the comment period is.
Sure. Ready for another phone call?
Might be him. Yep.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Hi, my name's Mike.
Hello, Mike.
So I see somebody coming up the military, And I used to be on the advisory committee, the Fairbanks Advisory Committee, and once or twice the military resources guy came to the meeting and gave us a really nice long talk on the ins and outs of using the military land. So maybe that'll happen again. But it also dawned on me just now that the Laundry House Gang doesn't really have an active military member that regularly attends the meeting.
Virgil, not
maybe
active.
Maybe gang could reach out to Fort Wainwright and get some sort of resource guy that'd come by once in a while.
It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. We'll put a Craig Comp on that.
Well, to answer Mike's deal there, at one time we did, several years ago, have a very consistent connection with the military, and they would show up at the meetings and take a lot of notes and keep us really well advised on the changes and what were coming up and the activities that were going on out there. But as the military goes, about every 3 to 4 to 6 years, commands change, people change, and we seem to have lost that connection again. So, yeah, we may have to try to reach out and see if we can get some hold of somebody.
Okay. Now, Craig, you authored some legislation through the borough about making the Chena River non-motorized in a specific area, and then also you were one of the people who helped discover the lost tribe
of the Lower Chena.
Yeah. Is there any other, over golden days,
yeah,
Chena River events that you're looking at?
Well, you know, last year we got a halibut out of the Chena right in front of several
hundred
people.
How big was it? Yeah, 30-pounder.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
It wasn't quite that big, but yeah, we caught a halibut.
Well, you know, I always think of things big anyway.
Yeah, so just to review those, yeah, last year on April 1st, we initiated the initiative and we had an ordinance to stop these non-motorized boats on the Chena River from Pikes down and below Pikes, above Pikes, between Fort Wainwright and Pikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no operating without a motorized boat. There was just too many of them. It was unsafe. And people were calling in to this radio station.
Wanted to kick your backside.
Oh, they did. They said, "How dare you? How dare you? We've been floating this river forever." And then they realized it was April 1st, and that was all a big joke. So we like to have fun. We have some surprises coming up for this year, but we're not going to really reveal them yet on the air. So.
Oh, come on. Spill the beans.
No, we're keeping it quiet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, are you going to be doing anything down near where Wayne lives and doing anything to his subsurface rights under the water?
He might be involved with us helping putting these things together. I haven't recruited him yet, but yeah, we're going to have some fun there.
We have a dragonfly sanctuary down there, so don't mess with that.
The Lost Tribe, you know, we got in a little hot water over that. The Binkley's great family, great business, but they take it very, very serious. So when you have a bunch of cavemen running around throwing spears at the boat from from over by Susan, just above Susan Butcher's camp, they didn't like it. So actually, John tried to call me right after that happened. Just don't know how he assumed it was Glenner and I putting this thing together.
You couldn't tell by looking at you?
I didn't answer, and then I called Satterberg, and he called John and said, "Hey, I understand you were trying to get a hold of my client. Is there something I can help you with?" He goes, "Well, who is this?" He goes, "This is Bill Satterberg." He goes, "I represent the Lost Tribe of the Lower Chena." And John is very polite. I love the guy. John and I get along great, but yeah, that's he's very serious about that.
I have a similar story. I love the Riverboat Discovery and the Binkley family. They go past my place mm-hmm. four times a day, and I always smile broadly and wave. But I keep a few Canada geese decoys in my yard, just hoping. And they go by, and I used to notice that those geese were there. And my son and one of his buddies put on a bunch of camo ninja gear one time. And when the riverboat went by, they went out and attacked these ducks and ripped their heads off, threw their feet up in the air, practiced all their karate moves.
And funny.
My son's buddy was working for the Discovery at the time. Skip called him in and says, "You know, the narrator didn't think that was very cute," and winked at him as he went out the door.
Yeah. And then last year, actually, after the Riverboat Discovery thing, later in the year, I had my Bigfoot outfit on and went down by Heimer's place. Were you involved with that at all?
Oh,
it was
no.
Right by your place.
What a conspiracy that would have been.
And as the boat's going by, I'm just shaking a tree like I'm trying to get a squirrel out of there. Yeah. And looked over at the boat, and I seen a few people taking pictures. I said, "Great, the word will get out here that Bigfoot's in Alaska."
Oh, man.
man. Oh, man. Yeah. Are you going to do anything on the upper Chena?
You never know, but you never know what we're going to do. We always have something fun in the works. So.
Is grayling fishing still not available on the Chena?
Still catch and release?
No. In fact, I think they... I think after 1 July, you're allowed
July 1,
you're allowed to keep a grayling now.
And first time in 10 years?
Yeah, or longer. Prior to that, there was some youth fishery where you, under the age of 16 or something, could keep a fish. So I'm not totally up to date, but I remember the board passing where you could retain a grayling on the lower Chena.
Yep. And haven't seen any. I haven't seen any kings running.
And a couple other updates. Nalchina caribou hunt was totally canceled this year, so there's no caribou hunting in Unit 13, potentially Unit 12 to go ahead. And 40 Mile had their census done this year, but they haven't come out with the number. With the survey yet, and so we don't know what the harvestable surplus is going to be. But it's looking like it's going to be low, maybe a few hundred permits. And so that'll be a little chaos. But on the bright side, the Central Arctic caribou and the porcupine caribou, which reside on the north and south side of the North Slope, are phenomenal. They're increasing in population. The porcupine's at an all-time high for population. And Central Arctic caribou's well over 30,000 right now, so it's growing really well.
So if I was going to go, say, at the end of August for the porcupine, where would I want
to
be?
You'll have to fly in. It's a roadless area, so the Arctic Village, Porcupine Creek, or a Porcupine River, all along them southern foothills of the Brooks Range is a good place.
Isn't the Central Arctic herd that one that was like 7,000 before the pipeline and was headed for extinction?
Yeah, you know, the pipeline
ruined that caribou herd. Just like the Ambler Road will.
Yeah, exactly.
How big did that population get?
Which 98,000.
Oh, I thought it was more than that. I thought it was in the hundreds. The Central Arctic?
Central Arctic caribou, yeah, it got pretty close to 90,000.
Oh, I thought it was
before it crashed, and it's one of those, one of the rare caribou herds that crashed and actually bounced back and recovered fairly quickly. Some of that is due to where they do their calving. There's low predation in that area, and they still have really good feed in that area, so they were able to recoup pretty quick. And there's some mingling of the porcupine and the Central Arctic, and even some say the Western Arctic or Tushapuk herds are, you know, they're the middle herd, and so they can get mixed with a couple other herds. So that might have been a factor also.
Speaking of predators, I just remembered while we were down, when we showed up on at Chitna, at the little hotspot, Shane Burnett was parked there. He had parked overnight, put his tent up. He got there at 7:30. They had already about limited out, you know, fishing through the night. They left to go pick somebody up and left one guy there at the camp with him. And as we're floating by fishing, we hear some gunfire right there real close. Black bear had wandered into the camp, and he was shooting at his feet. Didn't even move. But then about 20 minutes later, he said that he saw the biggest moose he's ever seen in his life, a cow, hoofing right past the camp, you know, ears up and just hightailing it, and that bear right behind it, up and over the little hillside there. And so we were getting ready to leave. He goes, "Hey, can you just kind of hang around till Shane gets back? I might need some backup here." So we did. We had him belt with clip tails.
He is in Alaska.
Yeah, but I mean, that's right there. And of course, big sign right there says Otna Property. And I said, "Yeah, you probably don't want to shoot it unless you absolutely have to. If it's really coming at you, they'll make a big stink about it right next to the Otna sign."
Oh my goodness. Well, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to start by giving you, this is probably some of Glenner's music. He's sort of this way, some Genesis, Land of Confusion. That sounds like...
That sounds appropriate.
Yeah. Then we're going to go into the Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden is in Lithuania today for a NATO summit, and he's meeting with Turkey's president.
The summit is reaffirming our commitment to NATO defense, close allies in NATO. And hope we can make it even stronger.
Well, just yesterday, the Turkish President Erdogan decided to drop opposition to Sweden's admission into NATO, Hungary's prime minister following suit. Now the Turkish and Hungarian parliaments have to ratify Sweden's accession. Up to Vermont, one of several states seeing torrential downpours and river flooding. The floodwaters in neighborhoods and residential homes. The governor of Vermont, Phil Scott, reminding people don't get careless just because the weather's getting a little better.
We are not out of the woods. This is nowhere near over. And at this phase, our primary focus continues to be on life and safety before we can shift into a recovery phase.
And they could get more heavy rain later this week. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's News Source reports a man died on Monday afternoon after two motorhomes collided head-on along the Seward Highway at mile 103 between Anchorage and Girdwood. According to the Anchorage Police Department, authorities responded to the crash scene outside of Indian just after 3 p.m. before shutting off the highway in both directions for over 4 hours. Initial indications are that two motorhomes, one traveling south and one traveling north, collided head-on, police wrote in a dispatch. The man was traveling southbound with one female passenger who was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. A woman and juvenile traveling in the northbound motorhome were also treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Two others in the northbound motorhome had minor injuries. The investigation is ongoing. No charging decisions have been made, police wrote. Next of kin procedures are underway. The chief victim of the crash has not yet been identified. And finally, according to analysis by selfstorage.com, more Americans want to move to Texas than any other state in the U.S. But also in that moving to top 10 are Hawaii, Arizona, North Carolina, and
streaming
Alaska.
Online at KFAR660.com.
You know that the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center prides itself in having the best qualified professional and licensed audiologists in the state. They're proud to announce the addition of Dr. Alexandria Jackson to their team. Dr. Jackson hails from Texas and is passionate about helping patients with hearing and balance dysfunction challenges. And she specializes in diagnosis of both adult and pediatric patients. She joins the experts and medical professionals at the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center, where they can help you with your hearing loss. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have the Laundry House gang in the studio here, and that's Al. You hear laughing at a crass joke provided to him by Karen. The things that happen in this studio when you're not hearing is unique, and therefore I can neither confirm nor deny the bail money that we will need. Anyway, other than that, we're coming up on August. August is where fishing and hunting meet. That 1 month where fishing and hunting meet. Craig.
You see, it's not a bad thing, right?
Oh, no. It's a good thing. It's like nirvana. Nirvana.
Yeah. And I'm always torn there because we usually, our group, my family or a couple of us, go down a wonderful trip down out of Nikiski. We fly across the inlet with Doug Brewer, Alaska West Air, and we fly into a place called Crescent Lake, which is where the Park Service has that station that we've talked about. And that Doug, they've tried to cite him for all this stuff over the years. But it's a beautiful spot. You fly over the glaciers and right down in this green lake, and there's a creek coming in. It's a dolly varden every cast, and you can go catch Lakers, and the salmon run through that lake, and it's open in August, and I'm going to try and do that this year, go get some silvers down there. So it's a really good trip, but it also is, it's a double-edged sword because it's also about the beginning of caribou season, if they're out there in the 40 mile. I go up the river in region 2 there,
And how's it looking this year?
I don't know yet. I haven't looked into it. Have you heard anything about where they're at, what they're doing yet, Al?
I haven't heard. I heard they were coming back, and they were some people sighting them on the Taylor Highway and such, moving towards the Stees. That count should be coming out here pretty quick.
What day does caribou season open up?
Is that 12th?
Generally, caribou season opens the 40 mile, and Nalchina would open on the 10th. There's a youth hunt that starts a week earlier than that. On the North Slope, they're probably already open for bulls only, or there's a lot more caribou up there, so the seasons tend to go a lot longer.
You know, last year we didn't see any caribou up there. It was really thin. We saw a couple people get caribou, but it was pretty thin. And of course, you know, with caribou, that's a very unpredictable herd. You never know where they're going, what makes them go, whether it's vegetation, predators, hunters, gunfire. Nobody knows really why they go where they go. And so Fish and Game has been really good. You know, I'll call Jeff over there, Token, and say, hey, where are the boo at? And they'll tell you. You know, they'll say, well, you know, no, don't waste your gas. There's probably not a whole lot of them up in that area, but you might go over here. They're moving over there. So the Fish and Game has been really good about helping you at least save some gas money.
Yeah, they'll give you a general idea where they're at. They have satellite collars on the 40 mile, and that'll give you an idea of where they're heading and, you know, the bulk of those collars moving.
Is that legal?
Yes, it is. They can't specifically tell you where they're at, but they can give you a general area or what zone they may be in.
Yeah.
And so it'll give you an idea if they're not in 1 or 4 or something. You know, it's not really good for Fairbanksing, but if they're over in 2 or 3 or whatever the Taylor Highway is over there, 2 is the middle zone. That's usually a fly-in only. Some of the people in the Salcha River can get up that far and get some good caribou pasture.
Yeah, you go up there. Most of them, we have a place we call Caribou up there. It's not the real name of it, but it's at about 100 miles, 105 miles up. And it's just a nice and natural crossing. Hard to get to when the water's low, but usually when they're moving through there, they're moving thick. Otherwise, you normally see, you know, you'll see 3 to 7 in an area just kind of crossing the river or whatever. But every once in a while, you see a big bundle of them coming through, and you just sit there and wait for the one you want.
I have a random fact about caribou. Mm. The genus name for them, genus and species name, is Rangifer, which means wanderer, literally. There you go.
I was on the Hohelettna one time, moose and caribou hunting, and made the mistake of parking on this island. And it was like caribou central all night long. You're hearing the splash, the splash, the splash, the splash. I mean, all night long. Just keeps going on and on and on. Next morning, I get up, okay, buddy, next one that comes through, and it's the big one. I shot my caribou, and I took a photo of it where you could see both my tent and my raft in the same photo with, you know, near the caribou, you know. Yeah. So it's just one of those things. And it was raining out, so I opened up the fly of the tent and shot the caribou.
Now, I've got a question.
Why get rained on when you don't have to?
This may sound really crazy, and it's a question for Wayne. But I read somewhere, or somebody told me one time, that a caribou, the reason they can stand out on the rocks in 60-mile-an-hour winds and survive at 40 below is there's something about the blood flow when it leaves the heart, that there's something different about the route it takes to go through the body, where it basically keeps the extremities
from turning
into bricks.
It's kind of like an HVAC system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cold blood coming back from the extremities goes through an interwoven circulatory system and picks up heat from the warm blood that's going down to the extremities, and it's called a counter current system.
Is that different than a moose?
No.
No?
No.
But ungulates, is that different? I mean, different than other animals?
It's something that kind of varies with the adaptation of the species. Mm. You know, if you're adapted to standing out in the cold water all the time, you're likely to have that. You know, it's the same thing that happens with ducks and geese. You know, their feet are in that cold water, which is really pretty warm sometimes compared to the air.
Yeah, sure.
But they have that same mechanism to keep their feet from freezing.
I remember from my trivia contest that a raven's core body temperature is 107, which would explain why they can stand on a telephone pole at 60 below and not seem to be too bothered by it. 107, that's pretty high.
I think they do that circulatory trick.
Yeah.
My question for the group is what color are caribou eyes in the winter?
My question for the group is, who cares?
No, you, because they're different in the summertime.
You told me that once. I can't remember.
And hold it now. Is it a color that is normal?
Yes.
Then what is the answer? Tell it to Fairbanks.
The color of caribou eyes in the winter are blue, and they're brown in the summer.
And is that some sort of, is there a reason for that? Like, has that happened to any other animals?
That's the way the good Lord made them.
Okay.
What do you think of call here?
All right.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Lunder House Gang, and your name is?
That's draft legislation, environmental impact statement, comments due July 11th today. Thanks.
Thank you, Charles.
Due today.
Draft, yeah.
Wow, talking about today, comments are due.
Well,
all right.
No.
You got a few hours here, folks, to comments, and we're looking some stuff up over here and trying to find out more.
Excuse me. Karen is looking some stuff up here. She immediately jumped on that. You know, it wasn't Craig Compo. like I'm involved in this. No.
I got my best gal on it.
There you go. There you go. Again, August is where hunting meets fishing, or fishing meets hunting. And you know, the silvers, it's your season, August into September. And you're going where again, Craig?
Down by Nikiski, across the inlet from Kenai there.
Yeah.
Over there in Katmai kind of country area, I guess. But it's
What time of August?
We haven't got it set yet. Mid-August, sometime mid-August, we're going to try and get over there. We just wait, and when Doug calls, I called Doug and I said, hey, are they running? Because we go down there. What's really nice with Alaska West Air is if you go down there and the fish aren't running, or like one time we were just dead set on going to the Nooshigak and catching kings, and he said, there's nothing there. Let's go here. And we'll take his advice. We used to be real fussy about where we were going to go, and now we go, where are we going, Doug? Because wherever he takes us, the fish are running, the weather's good.
He knows what he's going.
Yeah, it's just a first-class operator. I mean, and really reasonable, I think. It seems reasonable to me, at least for what, you know, you're flying in a turbine otter, you're dropping a scenic, you drop down into a lake, it calls it a half-day fish, and it feels like a full day. You know, last time I went, I think it was $450 or $500 a person for all that. You know, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Just they cook your fish right there if you want them to, and they, you know, you don't do a whole lot of work other than you just bringing fish in.
So when you went to the Chitna, how did you know it was time to go?
The wind was picking up. Yeah.
No. How did you know it was time to drive from Fairbanks and go fishing?
Oh well, just. I've called a few people. Al, everybody else said, man, they're thick in there. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You had your posse.
Yeah, you're almost, if you can get down on the water and the weather isn't too bad, when they're running like they were, you have to try not to catch fish. I mean, they're just, like I said, we got four in the net at one time, caught a couple of nice kings. Guy that was down there before us, they let them all go except for a couple, but they had 17 kings in the net.
So if I'm not mistaken, that's a pleasant surprise.
It is, yeah. The kings were
because the estimate of what the prediction was not nearly that wonderful.
And bigger fish.
Yeah, so, you know, currently I think I counted the last 25 days past the sonar counter at the Miles Bridge, they've averaged 20,000 fish past there a day.
Well, they got to be over 700,000, huh?
Yes, they are. And then I looked on the 9th, I think it was the 9th of July, they had a commercial opener posted. And the commercial fleet caught 299 kings in that fishery, which is really late, but still pulled in almost 300 kings and another 50,000 sockeye in that opener.
It's a late season.
Well, everything was running, you know, a week or so late. So, yeah, there's plenty of kings in the river. Everybody's getting them. Like I said, the fish are, you know, 25 days of 20,000 fish a day coming through.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
So
right
you'd be
now.
You'd want to be in Golcana sourdough in about 5 days.
No, you'd be there
right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Glenn had a 35-pound king, pretty nice. We estimated about 35, and Jerry got one at about 25. So a couple of nice kings, and we're going to smoke those. That was all good.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Wayne, Craig, Karen, and Al in the studio. And what is said during the break stays during the break.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
There's fishing, and then there's dip netting. Frontier Outfitters knows you need to maximize your catch and that you're working against the clock. So they make it real easy for you to get what you need fast. Whether you're on a boat or shore, from permits to dip nets, they carry fighting handles, D-handles, and more. So your tired, numb hands can hold on when that big king tries to yank your gear into the river. Plus those poles and the extensions for those deep holes and replacement nets as well. Your next outdoor adventure starts at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Living in interior Alaska, you know the meaning of a cold winter. So does Toyotomi Heaters, available at the Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior homes for years with quietly reliable, efficient heating products. Heating everything from small cabins to multi-room homes, they have water heating and hydronic options as well. See the Toyotomi oil heater that's right for you at the Woodway's showroom today. As always, the Woodway has factory-trained technicians to serve you, heating your home the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. A look at Alaska's budding new industry brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. The Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. To kick off our Saturday night food programming. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with a high of 74. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tonight, chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 56. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 68. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We're going to have Karen give us an update on comment periods, military, BLM, Fort Wainwright, and a few other things.
So apparently, and if this is wrong, Charles, please call back and educate us, because what I could find just quickly over the break is that the Army is looking to continue its lease from BLM for military training lands, 870,000 acres around Fort Wainwright and Black Rapids area. And this, according to this article, there was a public meeting on it in April, and the deadline for comments was June 7th. So it sounds like it's really kind of too late to comment.
When will they have a review of the comment period?
It doesn't give any information about that in this article.
Maybe they extend the comment period and it isn't on there, too. If Charles can call back if he has some other information, it'd be helpful, because we're that's where
it's not uncommon to extend those periods.
We're very interested in this because a lot of hunting happens, and we're all about that.
Okay, Wayne, it's July. Are you going to go shoot something or catch something this weekend or this week of this latter half of July?
I'm thinking I might go to a secret spot that I know and try and catch a 24-inch pike. I have grand aspirations. And the BLM is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
The Army can be irritating. Caribou are wonderful animals, but we don't want to forget that Dall sheep season opens on the 10th, which is making everyone very nervous.
I'm going sheep hunting again, but anyway.
Are you ready for it?
Just about, yeah. Yeah, just about. So where is this secret pike location? General area.
Are we on the radio?
Yeah, what the heck, you know? General, okay, what sort of bait will you use?
Well, there are a great many ducklings down by my riverfront.
Live bait?
But I won't be using
I don't think
those.
Live bait for a pike is legal.
I'll probably just use a good old-fashioned daredevil. Red and white.
Craig, second half of July, what do you recommend to people?
Rivers pretty low. A lot of the rivers are pretty low. The Good Pasture River, the grayling fishing should be getting really good. I'd like to take the grandkids up there and go catch some fish, head over to Delta Clearwater. It's only a 20-minute run from the mouth of the Goody. So we usually make a run up there. And, of course, that's like Mike Kelbrick always said, gin clear water. You know, it's beautiful. And you can see the fish as they're approaching the lure. And that's really exciting for the kids, you know, mm-hmm. when they can see it coming. They get all excited. They stop reeling. No, don't stop reeling. The fish goes, ah, the hook.
Must be one of your relatives.
They're young, you know, they're getting into it. But they're really into it. I love that age, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just are
eyes
so
are big.
Into it. Oh, and they catch that fish. And they're,
they get jealous when the other one catches one.
It's fun. So that's what I'm going to plan on doing, is taking the grandkids out fishing. I do have a quick fishing story that Glenner told me that was just hilarious. This was when he was much younger. They skateboarded, him and a buddy skateboarded all the way to Healy, then hooked a ride to Talkeetna, and they set up their tent. And I think they got really drunk. I think he said they, you know, and they're in the tent, and in the morning it's like hot. And so not only are they dehydrated, they're incredibly thirsty, right? And they're in this tent where it's 100 degrees in there. So they get up and their heads are ringing, right? They don't have any water, but the little creek or Talkeetna was rough. Oh, God, they both head over there. They get on their hands and knees and they're scooping water up in there, and they both at the same time looked at each other, looked around, there's all these rotting salmon right around. And they spit. He said, for a day, we couldn't get that taste out of our mouth. I love it.
And
always look around before you gobble up river
actually,
water.
Actually, always look around before you tell a story on someone. Yeah. You know, Glenner's only one booth down.
Yeah. Oh, it was hilarious. I mean, he had a lot more detail, but it was, I think I got it right. Anyway.
Karen, what is your recommendation for the second half of July, either hunting or fishing?
I moved over the winter, and my fly rod got stashed somewhere in a storage unit, and I'm going to go try to dig that puppy out, and I'd like to go use it.
So what's your recommendation? Where?
I actually only learned this fly fishing, started doing it year before last. So I've really only been to places like Lost Lake or... Birch Lake. Yeah, that's the only places I've gone.
The Upper Chena looks really good right now for that. I was watching a lot of people on the edge of the river, and they walk around a bend and fished. They were fishing when I drove down there yesterday.
About what mile?
40. Yeah. Around 40 mile there. Yeah, there's a and by Angel Rocks there, mm-hmm. where the big bend is there. So it looks like I didn't see fish. I didn't see fish, but they were fishing, and the water level's right and clear. It should be pretty good.
Al, what would you recommend for people to do the second half of July?
Oh, well, I mean, fishing or out gathering, start looking for berries. But I was over at the Department of Fish and Game, and I noticed that, and I really guess I never noticed this before, but they have a rod loaner program.
Mm-hmm.
Which means is you can go in there and you have a fishing license, and you may have some guests up and you guys want to go fishing but don't have all the fishing rods you need. They will loan up to 3 rods to you. And they'll do the same thing in the wintertime with some ice fishing gear. Mm-hmm. And all you need is it's free of charge. All you need is a fishing license and a rule book.
They don't lend you a tackle box full of MEP spinners?
Yeah.
Or anything?
So, but they'll give you great direction, and, you know, it's an opportunity where you don't have to spend a lot of money and take your guest out, and you'd be able to do some fishing at Chena Lakes or
that's got to be
Quartz
a new,
Lakes
new program.
Or,
I was in.
No, I think it's been around for a while, but yeah, I first noticed it too, and I was like, well, this would be a great thing to bring up on a Wednesday and let other people know that it doesn't get advertised that well, I don't think.
That's, when I went to get my permit for Chitna there, I saw those. They have them right in the lobby there, yeah. And letting you know that. So, yeah, kudos to them.
Yeah.
That's good.
My recommendation is to head to Sourdough and get a king. It's the it's the closest place you can go. They're in.
That you're still able to catch a king.
Yeah. That you're still able to catch a king. And that's what, you know, it's just that time of year where this is when you're going to catch them. is when you're going to catch them. Yeah. Usually it's around the July 4th weekend, but everything is a little bit late this
year.
What
do you use for bait? Ducklings.
Sometimes eggs. Yeah. But we're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Hello, Mel. You're barely on the... Go ahead.
I'm just to share with you. I've been to Katmai a couple of times. It's a pretty amazing place. And right now I'm looking at the Brooks Falls, you know, where they have the live cam for the bears fishing. And I tell you, I've been looking at this every day for, you know, the last couple of weeks. And, I mean, I see one bear there just standing at the falls, and I don't see any fish whatsoever. I haven't seen a fish since, you know, in the last 2 weeks, you know. So they're very, 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 very late. And I'm wondering if something's happened down there and there's not going to be any fish, because we've got one bear there standing and zero fish. So,
Hey, Mel, are you talking about Big River Lakes there where, you know, where Palin did her little promo years ago, paddling the canoe in front of the bears in the waterfall?
Well, it's Brooks Falls. It's on the Brooks River. It's the river that runs between Brooks Lake and Naknek Lake. I see another bear now. There's two bears there, but there's no fish. It's a live cam with explore.org, and it's right under the camera's right under the bear platform there at Brooks Falls. And, you know, Brooks Falls is where they take all the photographs of bears fishing. You know.
Right. Yeah, no, I go to they call it Wolverine Lake or Big River Lakes there. Alaska West Air's got a place in there, and that's I've never been in there when their fish weren't just thick. And it's reds. It's usually July, early July. We usually go down there, but that's where the bears walking around. It's also a little falls that comes in there, but I'm sure there's multiple places.
Mel, the Howling Dog isn't open this year, and me and you usually would meet out there at opening night. Haven't seen you this year, buddy. How you doing?
All right. I was out of town opening night. So.
Yeah. I don't think the Howling Dog's open. Yeah. But anyway.
I think it is.
Oh, really? Oh. I'll have to go out there and take a look. Hey, you take care. Talk to you later. Bye. And, anyway, we got about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to go to the Grand Wizard. What is your decimation plan for the squirrels, Wayne?
Well, I think I'm going to be driven to trapping once again. It's by the time I find a squirrel and I don't have a 13-year-old boy with a shotgun on patrol.
28, yeah.
By the time I find a squirrel, I go hunt up a firearm. The little sucker's gone way somewhere, and I have to... you know, for a long time, and that doesn't work. And it's frustrating to me. So I'll probably wait until they start throwing cones off on the shed roof. And then we'll take retribution.
Al, when does your business start getting busy?
There's something dying every day to get in my business.
They're dying to get to you every day. When does the mass extinction start?
June's a very popular month, and then, you know, August and September are the other two for high traffic, you know, people bringing stuff in, but I'm busy every day. And I'm just glad Wayne doesn't live in a city, because you wouldn't be allowed to trap squirrels in the city.
I'm glad I don't either.
You know... That's why we run them over with our cars. They're not trapped. You know,
there are a lot of squirrels this year.
There are.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I mean, I think a mayor could adjust that regulation.
Yeah, I think they're going for their second generation already this summer. You know, yeah. A lot of running around the tree.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I'm sitting there at my front patio drinking my coffee right on the street, you know, right here at my neighbor's property. Three great big spruce trees. And here's the red squirrels fornicating. And I was going, it's going to be a long summer. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Laundry House Gang, Al, Karen, Craig, Wayne, thank you very much. And I will see you tomorrow with Nick Nugent.